You're listening to the Jefferson Exchange. I'm Mike Green. My guest is Dr. Natalia Shilzhenko, an associate professor at Oregon State University's Carlson College of Veterinary Medicine. Originally trained as a medical doctor in Ukraine, Dr. Shilzhenko shifted her focus to biomedical research, specifically exploring the complexity between the host immune system and the gut microbiome. Her recent work, supported by the Canine Cancer Alliance, is breaking new ground in how we treat cancer in dogs by linking gut health to the survival rates through a revolutionary new vaccine. Dr. Shilzhenko, welcome to the program.
Okay, glad to be here. Thank you.
Well, I understand you prefer Natalia.
Yeah, let's go with Natalia. That's easy.
So many people may not realize how common cancer is in dogs. Can you put that into perspective?
Oh, sure, yeah. Cancer in dogs is the leading cause of death, especially if we are talking about older dogs, not younger dogs, but it's about more than one-third of dogs die of cancer. So it's a big problem.
Oh, that is a big problem. How many dogs are diagnosed annually with treatments like the one you're studying?
Oh, you're talking about the how many were treated with these treatments?
Yes.
Because, we are doing, this is a, my work is part of a clinical trial ongoing across the United States, different places, using this new vaccine, anti-cancer vaccine. It's a therapeutic vaccine, so dogs injected two times after any time after diagnosis. And this has been ongoing for a few years. This vaccine was shown and it was published by the inventor, Dr. Mamula from Yale, that the vaccine extends the life of dog with cancer significantly. But it's not, it doesn't work for all dogs. And we need to do more work to understand where and find a way to improve it. And this is what our work is about.
Well, to your point, your research does focus on a specific cancer vaccine developed at Yale University. How does this vaccine work differently than traditional treatments like chemotherapy?
Yeah, so Just to clarify, so the vaccine is in addition to the chemotherapy. They are non-competing. They have a completely different mechanisms how they combat cancer, because the treatments with traditional anti-cancer chemotherapies or radiotherapies, it's just killing the cancer cells directly by the chemicals, basically. And those chemicals, those drugs are also toxic to the other cells in the body. So there is a big problem there in terms of the side effects of the chemotherapies, and they're really significant for dogs and for people as well. So the vaccine adds to this a specificity sort of in killing the cancer cells, because What happens is that the dogs are injected with this protein, which is expressed in high levels on cancer cells specifically. So then once this is injected, then the immune system of the dog gets stimulated and starts responding to this injected protein from the cancer cells. Then they found the immune cell. They found that they are attracted to the tumor because it does have this protein for which this immune cells became stimulated for. And so they go specifically to the tumor site and kill those cancerous cells.
Tell me, what are some of the survival statistics that you're seeing in dogs that are receiving this type of vaccine,
right,
versus those that don't?
Right. So what Dr. Mamula has published before is that 1 year survival with traditional therapies, chemotherapy, for example, This is about 30%, 35% of dogs with cancer such as osteosarcoma, in this case, for example, and hemangiosarcoma, which receive this vaccine. So about 30% can survive one on average, right? Those who received vaccine, 65% survived 1 year after cancer diagnosis. So this is where the significant prolongation of the survival we see, but it's still there is room for improvement, definitely.
My guest is Dr. Natalia Shulzenko, an associate professor at Oregon State University's College of Veterinary Medicine. Natalia, can you talk about the success stories like Hunter and Cody?
Those are dogs who were who received those vaccines, and this vaccine, our the anti-EGFR vaccine, and they I don't know them personally. This is my part. Maybe I can tell you a little bit where I come into these studies, because this is a collaborative study between Oregon State University and a Park a referral center in the state of Washington around Seattle. So they treat dogs with traditional, normally prescribed anti-cancer medications, and in addition, the dogs receive this vaccine in their clinic. And this is where they collect the samples for our research. So then they collect and then send us those samples for the analysis. And there are many survival, long-term survivals already, at least what I hear from the Canine Cancer Alliance, who follows some of these patients, and we have some dogs who survived over 2 years. They're not as many, but still, this is really significant, given that normally the expectation is to survive 6 months on average at best. Once you have, they have more, maybe 9 months, but really more than 2 or 3 years. This is very significant. And when I come here is that Canine Cancer Alliance was supporting this trial already, anti-EGFR vaccine trial, in this clinic, Bark Clinic, called Bark. So, and then asked me, they approached me and asked if I wanted to collaborate regarding the gut microorganisms and the anti-cancer treatment. I don't know if you would like to maybe know more about this part where I come in.
Yes. So your latest study was published in Veterinary Oncology and specifically looked at the gut microbiome. And
right.
You had a co-lead, Andre Morgun.
Yeah.
Why did you both focus on the digestive tract?
Yes. So let me tell you that the immune system, so cancer is a disease that can be treated using a novel therapy called immunotherapy. In this case, we are what we are doing by instructing immune system to go and kill cancer cells. And simple words, but really there is a lot behind it, a lot of different mechanisms, and this is what we are studying. And one of the things that were discovered more recently from the human oncology, actually, is that microbes that live in our guts, and there are trillions of them, they are tiny, 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 but there are many, many, many of them, right? So they're really important in instructing our immune system how to work. And we can tweak the immune responses if we tweak in a certain way the gut microorganisms. So this became clear. And in the human oncology, there are already clinical trials going on aimed to alter the microbial composition, so-called, and to switch it to give instructions to the immune system to go after the cancer cells. So this is happening on the human side. And then we asked, we wanted to ask, does this happen? Do gut microbes have a role in the case of canine cancer? And that's why we started this this study that was published, and we find that, yes, they do. They are associated. There are gut microbes that are associated either positively or negatively with the outcome, with the dog survival, basically. And this gives us the idea that this is a proof of principle, sort of, that to say that, yes, gut microbes are important. We should be looking in that direction. And we continue the study. This is part of a bigger project that is ongoing in my lab in collaboration with Dr. Margunia lab.
Okay, and you identified 11 specific types of bacteria that were linked to survival outcomes. Talk about the difference between a positive and negative profile in terms of how a dog responds to the vaccine and these bacteria, specific types of bacteria.
Right. So in this case, what we are looking, we are not looking directly into the response to vaccine, but we are just looking how long did the dog survive after being diagnosed and starting the treatment. So, and what we find, if we take a profile, microbial, gut microbial profile at the time of enrollment into this study, and then we check how long, and then we have the history, how long each dog survived, because this samples were collected, for example, 2-3 years ago. So we know the outcomes of most of these. So then we can say that profile, those certain microbes, which are about half from the 11 that were positively associated, if they're higher at that time point zero, let's say, if they were higher, then the dog survived longer. And then the opposite is that if other bacteria were high, that were then negatively associated survival, meaning that the dog survived less. So this is association study. This is a biomarker, sort of a pilot study moving towards a biomarker, because with this vaccine, we can design a test for this, for example, to profile these gut microbes and say, okay, this dog has a good chance to survive, a good profile, and this dog has a bad profile. It may not survive well. And then what do they do? And then we do other research aimed to find the really important bacteria that might change the course of these responses and can interfere. We are not there yet, but I think in the next couple of years, we should be able to find out that too, and then do treatments, not just diagnosis and say, okay, you have bad chances, you have good chances, but really do something about it.
Okay, so in your study, there's this idea that a simple rectal swab might eventually help vets make more informed care decisions. How close are we to that?
Oh, I hope in this case, maybe 3-5 years, I hope. That would be because, and it's we can, on the research side, we may have it earlier. We may have it in a couple of years, but talking about broader access to this kind of test, it takes time still. So that's closer to 3-5 years.
Okay, so in the last 30 seconds or so, we often hear about personalized medicine for humans. How does your research bridge the gap between human oncology and animal care?
Yeah, so in this case, we are looking for translational studies, and we know that microbes are highly diverse, and we need to have personalized, more personalized treatment. So with dogs, with the natural time course of canine cancer is much shorter than the human cancer. So that's why we can beat the human oncologist, sort of to speak, in terms of developing this personalized medicine.
Okay, we'll have to leave it there. Thank you so much, Natalia.
Thank you so much, too. Bye-bye.
My guest was Dr. Natalia Shozinko, an associate professor at Oregon State.